Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warez.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kapp.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Klink.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's a Need to Know podcast. All thanks to the CIA Ops patron community. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at ciaops.podbean.com.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and these are FAQ episodes. Our FAQ episodes are a shorter, deeper dive into some of the technologies that are part of Microsoft 365. Now, what we've been focusing on for the past couple of FAQs is around security. So all the options that Microsoft give us and some best practices that go along with those to help make the tenant more secure. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about in this episode is something called Azure Information Protection. So this is AIP. Now, this does come with Microsoft 365 Business Premium, also with the enterprise SKUs, but typically not part of Business Standard or Business Basic. So you do need a bit more of an upmarket SKU to have this capability. Now, what is Azure Information Protection? Well, in essence, it's what is known as information rights management. Now, one of the big challenges with information that resides and travels through the internet these days is the fact that it is easy to duplicate and easy to send to basically anybody. Now, imagine an attachment you put in to an email, you send that to a recipient. Now, once you've sent that document, that source document, that is then given over to the recipient. Now, that means they have full control of it. They can take that and on send that to somebody else without your knowledge. They can modify that document and send it to, again, somebody else and do all sorts of nefarious things with it. So once you send something as an email attachment, you've basically lost control of it because it's not inside your protected environment. Now, of course, you can re-protect it. You can do some very basic stuff, but that's generally very easy to get around. What we really want to do is to be able to embed permissions inside these individual documents and data when we send those out across the internet and for them to remain protected no matter where they are. Now, this effectively is what information rights management is. It allows you to embed permissions and controls inside a document and for that to be maintained no matter where the document is. Now, it achieves that through the Azure Information Protection Service, and it communicates to the document basically using the internet. There are a lot of controls around here, and there are setups, for example, to control as to what happens when there is no internet connection. But let us assume that we do have a normal environment where there is an internet connection. So the idea is you take a document, data, maybe a Word document, and you then protect it using Azure Information Protection. Now, when you do that, you specify who the desired recipient is and what rights you give that recipient. So you might say, okay, here is a document. I will allow you this email address, specific email address, to read the document and to open it and maybe to print it out. But you can't copy and paste, you can't forward it to somebody else, and so on. So you basically use the Azure Information Protection capability and you embed the permissions into that document and you attach that document as you normally would and then send that off to the recipient, who then, when they open it, Azure Information Protection will verify that it is the right recipient and then put those permissions on that document to prevent it from them taking any action which you haven't specified. Now, how do we do this? Now, Azure Information Protection is largely built into a lot of the Microsoft desktop apps these days, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, latest versions. There is a client app that you can get for Azure Information Protection you download and put into your desktop that will allow you to quickly and easily put the permissions into documents, both Microsoft and non-Microsoft ones. This can be done directly from things like Windows Explorer as well if you want. Now, one of the challenges would be in this environment is if you had to go in and put permissions on every single document individually every single time for every single user, that will be quite onerous and you'll get inconsistencies as always. So some people would forget to turn off the ability to change the document or, you know, prevent writes and things like that. So the solution here that Microsoft has come up with is something around policies. So what we can do is we can create a policy, and think of a policy like a tag. So when we open a document and we have Azure Information Protection set up, we have an extra option there that allows us effectively to tag a document with a policy. You'll see a number of buttons appear just under the normal ribbon menu, and you can customize these for your organization. So again, think of policies like, you know, public, secret, confidential, top secret, and behind each one of those buttons are a number of different settings controlling how that document is to be managed. So for example, a public document may have effectively no policy. It would allow anybody to open it, to view it, and maybe make changes. Whereas the top secret or the confidential policy would basically lock that document so no one can make changes to it. It can't be copied and pasted and it can't be sent outside the organization, for example. So what we use is we create these policies or these tags to then work out what sort of rights, what sort of policies we apply when we push those buttons, and we surface those in our Microsoft documents on our endpoint device. So it makes it nice and easy. We get a nice, consistent approach to that. Now, that means that we can have the same policies applied to Word, Excel, but also to Outlook and emails when they make sense. Now, what we can do when we start classifying our documents using this concept of labels, we can, like I said, embed the permissions, embed the rights, control those as a policy across the organization. But we can also do things like include markings on that and introduce additional metadata. Now, what that means is, so for example, if you have a blank document and you classify it and it has a policy that will apply a visual marking, that will then appear in the document. So a visual marking could be a standard header and a footer, maybe it says confidential, a watermark, again, to prevent screenshots and things like that happening as well. Now, the ability of this labeling to move basically up the stack from a document perspective up into the ability to apply labels to locations now. So rather than applying our policies to individual data items, which we can still do, we can allow these policies and these labels to be applied in a team or in Exchange or across particular mailboxes or a user's OneDrive for Business. So this is this advantage of this unified labeling approach that Microsoft is moving towards, that we can take this concept of information rights management and labeling and apply that across all the services where the data lives. Now, this is going to improve the obviously the protection of the documents and again allow that to be much better controlled and viewed and managed by the organization, no matter what service they use. Now, there are a couple of different plans of Azure Information Protection. There is a basic plan that you get with the old Office 365 E3. Again, if you do have that older plan, there is some basic information rights management in there, but you get the most when you move to the Microsoft 365 environment. Business Premium will give you the Azure Information Protection P1 SKU. Now, the P1 SKU does the majority of stuff that you need for most cases, and the P2, for example, will give you the ability to do things like auto-classify your documents. So what we mean by auto-apply is that, for example, imagine somebody opens a new Word document and starts typing information into it, as most people do. Now, if there is a keyword, maybe there's a project name or an individual or some keyword that they end up inputting into that document, with Azure Information Protection P2, that can automatically be detected and then the appropriate label and policy applied to that environment. So with Azure AD P1, we typically have to do the application of the policy or the label manually, but Azure AD P2, Azure Information P2 is going to allow us the ability to do that in an automated manner. Now, Azure Information Protection P2 will also allow you to run something called an AIP scanner, and this will scan an environment for you, typically on-prem, file shares, and so on, and it will apply the policies that you specify to the information that it finds. So it will scan that information, and then if it sees a match to the policies that are set, it will automatically apply that protection. So again, there's that automated capability with Azure Information Protection P2. Azure Information Protection P1 gives you the ability to do the scanner, but it doesn't allow the automatic application of the labels based on what it finds. So you can search it, you can report on it, you can look at it, but with AIP one, you would have to go in and then manually do those documents. At least it's a way to, you know, get an idea of what information may contain confidential information or stuff that you do want to protect. But remember that P2 gives you that automated capability. Now, to make this happen, basically you would need a SKU that includes Azure Information Protection. Like I said, that's Microsoft 365 Business Premium, Microsoft 365 E3 or E5 typically. And then the best option is to install the Azure Information Protection client on the workstation. So that has that integration capability across all the documents on that endpoint. Then what you need to do is go in and start thinking about the policies. What sort of policies and labeling do you want to apply in your environment? So the best advice is to start simple, no more than 3 labels to avoid confusion from the end users. And you need to think about, okay, what's the information that I do want to protect initially, and then expand it out as people become familiar with it. Now, there is also the capability to apply Azure Information Protection to things like SharePoint document libraries, Teams channels, and so on. That can be configured and integrated as well. And the labeling can also form part of your metadata or your tagging of your information as well. So this is where the benefit of this concept of labeling. So labeling moves beyond just pure document protection and information rights management to apply metadata, so categories, filtering, those sort of abilities. But we can also begin to integrate things like retention policies with this labeling as well. So you can create a label which is a protection label, which has Azure Information Protection behind it, providing that protection. And you can also use retention policies as well. So that label can contain Azure Information Protection policies as well as retention policies combined together in that label to make it nice and easy. So you can say, right, I want to protect this information and also put a retention on it to retain it for this amount of time in my environment. So this is the really good thing, having a look at labels. So have a look at, dive into Azure Information Protection if you have that capability. Remember, at a base, it's going to allow you to protect your individual data items wherever they travel on the internet with the permissions that you set. At the higher level, once you get into Azure Information Protection, it should introduce you to things around labeling and so on, which are going to allow you to integrate additional policies and additional features into your document management, including things like retention policies. And thanks to labeling, it's going to make it nice and easy to apply that to either individual data items for users or to areas of data, including SharePoint document libraries, team channels, emails, and so on. So there's lots of really good information from Microsoft on how to do that. So again, dig in to do a search for what is Azure Information Protection. You can also read about the rights management side of it as well. This is where the information has protection has come from. And in essence, again, Microsoft is moving the ball to include a number of other services under the banner of Microsoft Information Protection, so MIP. So again, think of MIP probably as the top of the tree. Underneath will be the AIP, the Azure Information Protection, and another number of other options which you can use to protect your environment. The key takeaway, hopefully, is that think of Azure Information Protection as a service that will allow you to assign permissions to individual data items and for those permissions to be observed no matter where the data is moved, anywhere around the internet or whoever you send it to. That has a big benefit in the fact that you can continue to manage and control that information no matter where it's sent. That is not something that is the case with most data today. Once it leaves the safety of, you know, Microsoft 365 or an on-prem server, basically then anybody has access to it. Anybody can modify it, change it, and do that without the sender or the author knowing what's going on. And that's probably not a good thing in this day and age. So take a moment, have a look at Azure Information Protection. It adds on to all the other security things that we have been talking about in these recent FAQs. So we're about at time. I thank you very much for taking the opportunity to listen to these FAQs. As always, appreciate any feedback, any comments that you have, or any topics that you'd like to see covered. You can follow this on the Twitters at N2K Podcast, also on Facebook at N2K Podcast. You can send your feedback directly to me, director@ciaops.com. You can find me on the Twitter at @directorcia. And with that, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Need to Know Podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know Podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.